Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Apramasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It's wonderful to be back in church on a normal Sunday morning, because we've been here for 3 nights running. And every night after the service, we spend some more time talking to the bishop. And they were really wonderful times. And I think that one of the greatest keys, what we have been trying to say, which is becoming clearer and clearer, I believe, is that we must become more and more like Jesus. And maybe, you see, it is rarely as you think, because I was quite sure that the Founders Convention was going to talk about founding. I was very sure. But instead, we spoke about Jesus. Now, I was talking about Jesus on Sundays. And then rather, he took us to Jesus. And it occurred to me that Jesus is a founder. He's the master founder. He's the most successful businessman who finds money everywhere. He can turn everything into money. Whatever he touches becomes successful. So I came to understand that in ourselves, ask him, what are you looking for? Ask him, what are you looking for? I know you won't say it well, you know, because some things we camouflage it, we say it in political terms in public, but privately we know exactly what we are looking for, you know. And the secret is this: whatever you are looking for, you will find it in Jesus. And Jesus is the best example of everything. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are continuing on our journey, our attempt to know him more and more. Hallelujah. Amen. And we will get there. Amen. Because we will become like him. We will become, tell somebody, don't die. Tell your neighbor, don't die now. No, add a few more years, about 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years, add it. Then you see that there'll be a radical change, I promise you. There'll be a very big change in you and your life. And God will bless us. Let us pray. Father, thank you so very, very much this morning as we spend a few minutes in your presence. Thank you that, Lord, you are doing something that is new in our lives, new in our walk with you. Bless us, all of us, and let these few words have great power to change us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Maureen, your glasses are fantastic. I tell you, after church, I'll borrow it. I'll take a picture with her glasses. It's powerful. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, let me say something that is straightforward but difficult to understand. You will only know Jesus when you know Jesus. I told you. You will only know Jesus. You see, it's like a repetition, but I'm not repeating myself. You will only know Jesus when you know him. When you don't know him, you will never know him. But you said, once I know him, then I know him. No. There are levels of knowing him. There are different ways of knowing him. And the knowing him that brings change in our lives is dependent on knowing him. Hallelujah. Are you with me?
Oh, yes.
You see, to know him, John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We are here trying to know him. That's our aim. We are trying to know him. But the truth is, we will only know him when we know who he is. Because so long as you don't know who he is, you will not know him. You will see him as something other than what he really is. Are you listening? I know it's confusing. John chapter 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, the Son of Man. It is, when you lift up, you see, when you lift up the Son of Man, when you give him a certain respect, a certain recognition, a certain understanding of who he is, then you will know who he is. Let me try and explain. Some years ago, a friend gave me a gift. It was a watch. And the watch was a very heavy watch. So it was a special friend. So I really valued the watch. I kept it and I wore it once in a while. And one evening, I was wearing it. I took it off. Then I put it on a table. We had guests in the house at that time. We were all in the living room chatting. And my watch was lying on the table. Then one of my guests, who is a well-traveled person, he jumped up and said, "Hey, whose watch is this?" And I said, "It's mine." He said, "Hey, do you know what this is?" I said, "It's a watch." "Oh, isn't it a watch?" "It's a watch." He said, "No, this watch, you don't buy it in shops." I said, "Hey, what do you mean?" He says, "No, there are only certain shops that sell this watch. And oftentimes, you don't understand, but you don't buy it, you order it. It is not a watch for ordinary people." I said, "Bring my watch." "Bring my watch." Yes, and I took it. Today, it's still in my drawer. I don't wear it in case somebody will see it. It's there. It's in my drawer. It's got a name. I've Googled the name before because of what he said. And I found that it is not a watch that you buy in shops. I had it, but I didn't know what I had. And I valued it because it was a nice watch. But I didn't value it with its true value. Do you understand? It didn't have its true value as it should have. It should have been held very precious in my eyes from day one. But it was precious. It was nice. It was there in my among my things. But when somebody explained to me what it is, then suddenly my estimation of that what changed. Now, all of us have Jesus. All of us. But you don't know who he is. You don't know who he is. You don't know what he can do in your life. And that is why you have him as one of your friends. You have him as one of the other people in your life. I have friends, but I have different category of friends. Okay? I have friends. I have a friend who bought a Mercedes Benz 1988. Yeah, 1988. He's my colleague. So know how old I was in 1988. And he bought a Mercedes Benz. And I have friends who don't mind drinking tea and one biscuit for 100 CDs. No, they are levels. Yeah, I mean, when we go out to a place, to go to a hotel, then they order tea and biscuits. And then the bill comes, 100 CDs. And I ask you, where did the money go? Which is the 100 CDs, the tea or the biscuit or the glass? Or when I'm going, I take the cup with me. But you see, I have other friends too, are like you. We are working together here. We are all fluid in the same Apomasi area. You have a friend who has great power to, are you listening? He has great power to do things that can change your life. I have a friend who one day woke up and bought a car. Yeah. I mean, do you understand? One day he woke up and bought a car. He just went and bought a car. One day, I went to visit a friend. And when I got there, he was sitting at a table holding his head. And I said, "You look disturbed." He said, "I'm trying to make a choice." Then I said, "What is worrying you so much that you are thinking like this?" He said, "I'm going to buy a car. And I'm trying to decide whether to buy the Land Cruiser or buy the Prado." The Prado looks more humble, but the Cruiser looks nicer. So he had all the brochures in front of him, going back and forth. He bought the Land Cruiser. Wow. Do you see my friends? Yes. Yeah. But I have friends. We are together here. Now, this morning, I came to tell you, you have friends. Amen. You have friends like me, Apomasi people together here. And you have a friend. We learned husband and father. But this morning, he said in John 17, "I call you friend." Yeah, so I'm using that one for today. You have a friend who is so powerful that if you are working with him, there's nothing you should worry about. If that friend says, "Let's go shopping," you don't check your balance. Are you with me? Yeah. If your friend says, "Let's go shopping," and you know who is, "Chale, jackpot, let's go." Some years ago, my wife was celebrating her birthday before I married her. I should have married her earlier, but I was late. Before I married her, she was celebrating her birthday. Then one of her uncles happened to be passing by. And he said, "It's your birthday?" "Yes." He said, "Oh, then let's go shopping. Let's go shopping." And I said, I wasn't there, but I said, "Beautiful." She told me afterwards. Then he said, "Oh, but I can't go with you. So go." Even better, actually. "So go." In those days, there were a few shops which had all their goods. So he said, like, you know, like in this time, you said, like, it's the mall. He said, "Oh, so then go to the mall and buy." Then he took paper, a checkbook, and then wrote a check and gave it to her. When she took the check, he had signed front and back, but there was no figure. I said, "I wish I was there." But I wasn't. And so she disgraced us. She went and bought small. Oh, she disgraced us. That about Bobby Car. She missed her chance. Yeah, she didn't buy him car. Yeah. Look, you see, when we exalted, I discovered TPT after these past few days. I know it. I go there, but I'm going there more often. John 8:28, TPT. Oh, yeah. Jesus said, you know me as I am. I am is God. I am is God, Jehovah. You know me as I am after you lift me up from the earth as the Son of Man. Are you listening? You will know who he is when you recognize who he is. When you see that Jesus is actually God, then you know that I'm working with God and he can do all things. And he said, then you will realize, this is another thing, that I do nothing on my own initiative. Amen. Then, this is Jesus talking about himself. That you know him, who he is, when you know he is God. When you say, you exalt him, you lift him up. Do not compare Jesus with anybody on this earth. Do not. He is far superior, far higher than everything else, anybody else. And he said, you know him, and you realize that what he does. This morning, I'm talking about humility. I'm just trying to understand that Jesus, for all he was, he did nothing on his own. Hallelujah. Amen. So this morning, I want us to look at humility. Humility for just a few minutes. You know, I don't preach long these days. I'm almost finished. Yeah. No, 5 minutes is even long. Humility. Amen.
Amen.
There's always the dictionary definition, and then there's the biblical interpretation of these words. So this morning, I want to give you the dictionary definition, which gives you an English human being understanding of what this thing is. Then we apply it spiritually. Is that a good idea? Okay. So, humility, it's the opposite of pride. This one is not a dictionary. I'm introducing it still. It's the opposite of pride. And pride is the worst sin you can sin. Amen. Pride, to be proud. No, it is often underplayed and often not brought up for what it is. But pride is the baddest thing you can do or be in your life as a Christian. And that is why Jesus, when he came to the earth, he exemplified humility. He showed us. We are trying to become like Jesus.
Yes.
So I'm trying to show you one of the great attributes or characteristics of Jesus. And that is humility. Humility. Recognize your strength without boasting. Humility. Number one, to say I am good at something, but without boasting. To recognize that I'm good. That I have a gift or a talent or an ability. Amen? And it's very important because if you have that ability, what are you keeping it for? Why are you sitting on it? You have the power to play the piano, to sing a song, to give money. You have that ability. Please, it is to be used without boasting. Without boasting. Are you listening?
Yes.
Yeah, not everybody can play the piano. No. Not everybody can sing. When it comes to singing, some of it's good to not have the microphone. Yeah. So humility is, so please ask me about what is your strength? What are you good at? What did he say? Because if you have that strength, where is it? Where is it? And it is to recognize that I am good at something is to, they'll say, humbly use it publicly. Humbly come and, I mean, to be humbly play your piano humbly. Yeah, without, I mean, don't be stiff. Don't be, I mean, do you know who I am? No, don't know. just come and perform nicely. Amen. Number two, acknowledging your weakness and your mistakes. Acknowledging your weakness and your mistakes. Because some of you are perfect. Hey, not that you are perfect, but in your mind you are perfect. You don't make mistake according to you. Meanwhile, you make many mistakes. It means that every mistake you make is an argument. Every mistake, every fault, every shortcoming is a discussion because you don't... Are you listening to me? Because you don't recognize that this is my mistake. I don't know how to do this thing or I did it wrongly. No. Recently, my wife told me she had met somebody and that this person... You know, the word sorry is very important. I hope you say sorry often easily. Do you? Do you say sorry? Hey, do you say sorry often, easily? You say, oh, not often. No, we are always sinning. So it should be often and easy. But she said there's a certain friend who doesn't say it. Every mistake is a discussion and an explanation as to why I didn't go, why I didn't do, why I didn't touch. Tell me about rather humility is to say, I was wrong, sorry. Amen. And learn to apologize. No, learn to see when you are wrong. I don't know whether you are listening to me this morning. Learn to see. Do not let somebody hold you by the ear before you recognize that something is not happening here. Number three, willing to learn from others. Willing to learn from others. That's humility. Because ask him about what is pi r squared times 3. You don't know, but somebody knows. You don't know. Ask, there are doctors here. There are doctors here. Ask him, your pancreas and your liver, what's the difference? Your neighbor said, what you can't eat, what you can't eat. Yeah, that's what your neighbor knows. But it's more than that. It's more than that. Amen. Oh, I said amen. Amen. Please tell your neighbor, you must be able to learn from others. Number three, number four, able to follow instructions. This morning, humility. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Able to follow instructions because some people do not follow instructions. Hallelujah. They do what they like. They do what they like. Last week, I was talking about obedience. Jesus learned obedience by what he suffered, Hebrews 5, 8. But listen, you should be able to do something you didn't choose because somebody told you. Yeah. You should be, are you listening? You should be able to say, I am doing this. What is this? Whatever it is. Coming, going, eating, putting down, buying, being sent, changing my course, whatever it is. I am doing something, not because of me, because this is not my idea, or this is not what I would have done, but I'm doing this thing simply because somebody told me. And for my children here, it should be, for you, it should be easy. Because your lives are being controlled by parents. I mean, so for you, it should be like, oh, this one there, I'm told to sweep. I'm told when to wake up. I'm told to what to wear. I'm told what to eat. I mean, for children, it's not it is normal. It's how they live their lives. But it's for grown-ups. It's for the grown-ups who now, you are your own master. You are your own captain. And you are the one who's in control. So, able to follow instruction. I'll come back and relate all to Jesus. Amen? And then, number 5, treat people with respect. Treat people with respect. That's humility. That when I see anybody, whoever you are a person. It's not like some people, you walk past them. And, you know, one day I was somewhere, we're in a group. We're about 5 in a group. Then we met another man. And this man met us and he was shaking our hands. And for the first time in my life, I saw a man who shook hands, jumped somebody, and then shook another person. I said, it's real. It's real. He shook. I mean, it's not a mistake. He jumped somebody and shook another person's hand. I said, some people despise other people. Yeah. So it's not, it is how it is. And number 6, can put himself down. Doesn't mind saying I'm nothing. Because I'm nothing. Doesn't mind saying anything. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So this morning, I am trying for all of us. Hello? Hello? All of us to have a mindset of humility. Everybody, that from today, let somebody comment you are humble. Amen. Let somebody comment on your not you see, we're not acting. We are not acting. We are not going out to pretend to be, but we are going to be so changed. Hallelujah. Amen. We are going to be so changed that somebody will say, you have changed. You have changed. You have become calmer. You used to be talking. You used to be, your mouth was like fire machine gun. But right now, it's become something else. You've calmed down. Formerly, when you walk into the room, you feel your presence. Now you are coolly coming to the place. I don't know whether you are with me this morning. Let not by you acting, but by being who you are, let you be so changed that they will comment that you are humble. That there will be a comment. Hallelujah. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Which mind? Who, being in the form of God, was God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, for him to say, I am God. Are you listening? Number 1 is, recognize your strength without boasting. For him to say, I am God, it's not a problem, because that's who he is. That's the person we are dealing with. He is God. For him to say, I am equal with God, was perfectly acceptable. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is the beginning. This is the mind that Jesus, this is who he is. No. But why that mind is important is because of verse 7. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Hallelujah. Number 1, you must be willing and able to do any kind of work. You know, a few weeks ago, we were discussing cleaning our toilets and cleaning our church and keeping this place clean. Yeah. I mean, Prophet told me once, and it's true, that when you're looking for cleaners, do not go to JSS people. Go to graduates. Because JSS people, they are sensitive. And they are super sensitive about their positions. So when you bring up cleaning, They say, am I the bad boy in the house? They will interpret it in a way that is negative. Am I the one who is there? When you look at all of us here, I be the cleaner. I'm the one who looks like a cleaner. When you are looking at all of us who are here, so somebody should go and wash the plates. Look at all of us here. Who should wash the plates? So who should wash the plates? If I ask anybody, they turn it. Are you listening? And they say, so I am the one, I'm the plate washer in the house. I'm the one. So if there's somebody, if you're going to share money, you won't call me, but you're going to share work, that one you are calling me. John 13. And Jesus, verse 4, riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith around his waist he was girded. Ask your neighbor, do you think, just ask him, do you think you can wash my feet? Ask your neighbor, do you think, let's be honest, do you think, here, not at home, do you think that, and you see, the feet washing was the job of the lowest servant in the house. Ask him, so do you think that on your own, you will get up and come to Pastor Henry and say, oh, Pastor Henry, please, let me wash your feet for you. How many think that they can do it? You can do it on your own. Get up and come and wash him. But all this time, I've not done it. All this time, you have been here for how many months? You have not done it. Eh? We have been going for walks around this area. We come back with our feet dirty. You have not done it. You see, those who say they can do it, when you do it, when you are told, minus 70%. Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you do it after being told. Because Jesus, who told him to go and do the work? Are you not aware we need to clean the place? Please ask your neighbor, are you not aware somebody sweeps here? Oh, please ask your neighbor, are you not aware? What did he say? No, automatically, it's a spirit comes every Sunday. And Motia comes and does it for us. Who does the cleaning here? Somebody. Somebody does it. Are you not aware that somebody has to pay all the bills? Are you not aware? So, listen, Jesus, I'm talking about humility this morning. Jesus was able to take on himself the lowest job that was available in the house. May that be your mind.
Amen.
And what I said was that if I can tell most people here to do something, I can, by some powers that I have. I have some powers. Oh no, I have some powers. So I can call people and they will come. I can say stand up and they will stand up. I can say a few things. It is true. But if something has to be said before you do it, it robs it of the power to be impressive. Do you understand? If somebody must call Barbara, come and take a duster and dust all here, won't you do it? She will do it. I know she will do it. But if Barbara on her own rises up and says, I see cobwebs in the house, and I don't know who's going to do the cobwebs, I think I'll do it myself. Isn't that impressive? Isn't that greater works? Yeah. But what it is that Barbara will have to be very humble before she will think like that. I don't know whether you're with me. She will have to be very humble. Which she is not. But not only her, all of us. Have you thought about the cupboard before? No. But it's been clear. You don't know who cleans it. Yeah. It is, as I'm looking for us to have a mind
a mind that all this, look, all this, whatever needs to be done here, I can do it. I can call, I can call Caroline. I can call almost everybody. I just called last night. I called Adele. Adele, today you are taking the offering. Just last night, can she say no? Can she argue? There'll be a discussion. This morning she's here. I can do it. But if somebody had said, listen, I want to do it now. Now, I don't know whether you're with me this morning. Somebody has said, now from today, I want to take up this assignment myself. As I look and I see a need, I see a work to be done. And you know what we are doing. And somebody says, I want to do this thing myself. That is the greatest show of humility. And that is telling us who you really are. Because when I do say, Prince, do this, and you do it, is nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's just obedience. It's just some crowd won't do it. So it's something. If I then, verse 14, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Amen. So, number one, let us all begin to have a certain mind that we can do any work. We can do any work. We are available. Hallelujah. We are available and we can do any work. Amen. Number two, just my time is already finished, but it's okay. Number two, John 17, verse 4. And Jesus said, I have finished the work you gave me to do. I have finished the work you gave me to do. So, building on the first kind of humility, there's another person who even cannot be told what to do. Cannot be told what to do. Are you listening? He cannot. He does what he likes. You can, when you are told something, like I said, it's a discussion. When you are told something that you don't want to do, it's a discussion. This is obedience. Amen. Amen. This is obedience. One of the greatest signs of Jesus is that he was a great man who obeyed his father. You know, they're not here. It's unfortunate. But I was thinking over the past 2 days that we are doing a convention. We have gone to invite a guest speaker. He's in Accra. He flew up on Wednesday morning just for us. Then he flew back to Accra Saturday morning after our time with us. He has spent 3 nights with us. My members that I invited didn't come. My church members that I invited for a meal I had prepared didn't come. And I was looking at the church. They're not here still. So I don't know how to meet them to tell them that they didn't come for the time, for the work presented. You know, and it is because it's because you tap your neighbor and tell them, not you, but the person who didn't come, tap your neighbor. But you are the one who I'm talking to. You must be able to be told what to do. Amen. Now, I hope you are listening. It should be. I just called Adele last night. Come and take the offering. And she just did it. No, no. Yeah. You must.
Listen. You must be able, it should be possible for someone to, you don't recognize this part of you is your Christianity. It's not only don't drink, don't smoke, don't swear, don't go out, don't go to party. That's not Christianity. No, that's not it. They say, oh, keep on smiling. No, that's not Christianity. To be a good Christian, a follower of Christ, it is also that you can be told what to do.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that. You see, we have made Christianity as a list of things I don't do. I don't steal. I don't watch pornography. I don't do. What again don't you do? I don't do clubbing. What again? I don't chase girls. I don't chase boys. Boys chasing me, I suck them. What again is it? What do Christians do? Tell me. Eh?
I don't play football
on Sundays. That we have a list. No, listen carefully. We have a list of things that in our minds are the do's of Christians. But we have left out this one. The simple thing. Somebody can tell you, do this thing, and you will do it happily. Somebody can speak to you. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey your leaders. Be willing to do what they say, the ERV. Be willing, submit yourselves. That is Christianity. That is what Christ did. That is what it means to be a proper Christian. If somebody can call you, it's like any assignment, somebody can call you, especially your leaders, especially those who have the rule over you. They can call you and give you an assignment that you will do.
Amen.
I don't hear an amen this morning.
Amen.
Yeah, that is what it means to be a Christian. It's not simply that I've stopped all them sins. No. It's not. It's, you see, Jesus never sinned. So that one we can't copy. But there are many other things that we can learn from him. And this is a major one. Amen.
Amen.
I hear with me.
Yes.
Obey them so that their work will give them joy, not grief. It won't help you to make things hard for them. Let's go to the King James. Back again. Back to the King James. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls as they that must give accounts. This morning, let me ask you another funny question. It may seem obvious, but it's not. Ask Libra, who's your pastor? Who's your pastor? Yeah. Who's your pastor? Because somebody, no, you see, you say, oh, I go to this church. No, that's not what I ask. That's not what I ask. Because somebody must watch over your soul and give accounts. Somebody must say, I told him, I did my part. I set him up for success. As a parent and a child, a parent is setting up his child for success.
Yeah.
A parent is trying to arrange his child such that everything will work well.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So, as they that must give accounts, that they may do it with joy, that you are happy, you are happy that these are my people. And you are happy to pray for them. You are happy to worry. Do you know how pastors worry? Do you know how pastors worry? Many years ago, when I was married, I went to my mom and I told her, now you are free. You are free. You have one less child to worry about because now I'm married and I'm going to travel. I'm going far away. So Charlie, you are free. She says, no, 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 no. I have one more child to worry about. You've got to bring a wife. You've got to bring a wife. You have brought, I have one more person, human being to worry about. So formerly I had only 6 children. I have about 12 or 13. They've all married and gone. Amen.
Amen.
Ask your neighbor, do you know that somebody is worrying over you? Please ask your neighbor. You know, you're not minding me this morning. Do you know that somebody is thinking about your welfare? And that is what Paul says in Hebrews, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves that you can be told what to do. That you can be told what to do and you will do it. Obey them. Yeah. That their work is done with joy. Arguments only come, or disagreements only come, when there is pride and lack of humility. Yeah. There are two kinds of arguments. Do you know that? There are two kinds of arguments. The argument you argue with your mouth, the one you argue in your head. Yeah. There's the argument that when they ask you, come, I can't come, please. I'm going somewhere. I'm busy. I've been sent. I have things to do. I cannot come. I'll come when I'm ready. It's not possible. I can't do it now. There's that argument. Are you here? That is back and forth, like table tennis. I say you see. Then in the end, we just agree to disagree. There's the other argument where you are looking at me, you are smiling. But in your head, I will never do this thing. In your head, are you coming? Yes, I'm coming. In your head, there's no plan to come because I know that I'm going somewhere at this time. There are two kinds. We are talking about humility this morning. Amen?
Amen.
About humility this morning. And it is to be able to be told something by somebody who naturally may not have authority over you, but you now have given them the authority to speak into your life. Amen.
Amen.
One of the areas where I used to talk a lot, but I've stopped now, was about marriage. I used to be very, very, I was a matchmaker. Hey, I'll be calculating. I'll be looking, I'll say, you and you, you look, you could, it could work. Hey, you're not minding me. But I've stopped. But I've not stopped again. I've changed my mind again. It's a necessary job. Oh, it's a necessary job. Yeah. But only I do it with more wisdom these days. Hallelujah. Luke 17. What should be your attitude? What should be your attitude? What Jesus is saying. Luke 17 and verse 10. So likewise ye, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, you say, we are unprofitable. It's just my job. What you have said for me to do, and I did, is nothing. I should have done it. We have done that which was our duty to do. You shouldn't even thank me. You shouldn't even, we clap for the dancing stars. Today we didn't clap for them, they didn't dance. We clap for the choristers, we clap for various peoples who have done things in the church because we are appreciating what they have done. They should tell us, please don't clap for us. We are happy. I mean, we have a chance to sing. We have a chance to play our piano somewhere. Because if you don't play here, where are you going to play your piano or your drum? You have a skill and a talent of playing trumpet. Where are you going to play it? In your house with your neighbor banging on your wall. With your neighbor shouting at you, hey, who's that disturbing the peace? Where are you going to dance? If you don't dance here, where are you going to dance again? Where are you going to... You have a gift. Where are you going to show it? No, you don't understand what I'm saying this morning. Humility is, I have the ability and I use it in all humility. And the man says that, I've done, I think during our convention, our scriptures was very fast. Hey, it was amazingly. No. It was. Never. And you see, when we say, well done, we say, oh, I've just gotten used to my job, that's all. Don't thank me. Finally, now I'm in control of the keyboard. That's all. I've just learned how to do it. It's not anything to thank me for. After all, if I don't do it, who will do it? That's the mind of a humble person. Are you listening? We have just, you see, Christians or Christianity, we have focused on the don't do's, and we have missed who Jesus was and what he did. And Jesus was, he was always, he said, I came to serve. If this mind, look at your neighbor and tell him, if this mind is in your mind, I came to serve. It is impossible to, no, that one is finished. I'm saying it is impossible to sit still in a service or to sit quietly uninvolved in this. It's impossible. If I came, if you have gone to your house and your mother's in the kitchen and she's cooking and you are sitting down in the living room watching TV, is it possible? I came to serve. I came to help. Is it possible? You are in a house with other people and somebody is sweeping, somebody is working, and you are just sitting down eating ice cream or fine yogurt. Is it possible? It's not possible to be inactive. To be inactive, it's not possible. Something will stir you because I came to work. I came to serve. And where there's any... My time is finished. If you notice Jesus, there were occasions where people asked for help. Okay? Yeah, and he gave them the help. But there were other occasions where nobody asked for help, but he did something for them. The widow who lost her son. Nobody asked him for anything. They were going to bury him peacefully. Let's go and bury him. And then Jesus said, no, bring him back. There were 5,000 people who were hungry. And then they said, send them away, which is a reasonable thing to do. He said, no, bring them. That we often are waiting to be told, those of us who are good, we are waiting to be told, do this and do this and do this. But the real follower of Jesus Christ, the real imitator, nobody has to tell you to do something. You can see. You can see what is happening. You can see what is going on. You can see what is lacking. You're not minding me again this morning. No problem. I'm almost finished. But you can see. That is what Jesus stood for. That is why nobody asked him to rise up and wash feet. He himself said, I want to show you what it means. Do you know who I am? You want to know who I am? That I am Jesus? Okay. You call me Lord and Master. Correct. I am. But I'm doing this. You call me Rabbi. It's correct. I am. But this is what I'm doing. May you this morning see that there's a role for every one of us There's a role, there's a job that need not to be spelled out to you. Amen.
Amen.
And the last one this morning, I have 7 minutes. And the last one this morning, tap your neighbor's head and tell him, may your mind be changeable. May your mind be changeable. Because every one of us has a mind. Hey, we have finished the classes. Let's go. No, everybody, look at what Jesus said. When Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26, and he was speaking to the Father. And he said, my Father, if it is possible, don't make me drink from this cup. Take it away from me. That is my opinion. Then he said, but do what you want to do. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. In the ERV, do what you want to do, not what I want to do. This is one of the great keys, the keys of a follower of Jesus, that you have your will. Everybody has a will. Everybody has a plan and a mind because you were brought up that way. From your childhood, you have been programmed to become something. You have gone to be go to school, learn. Everybody has a plan for himself, good or bad, it's a plan. Now the key to doing well is that plan that you have for yourself. It must be changeable. It must be such that you recognize that there's somebody who has an input into your life. And Jesus said, Lord, not my will, but he said, I know what is happening. I know what is going on. Now, Lord, let us do not what I want is. I want to go home on Sunday afternoon and lie down and have siesta. Do you know siesta?
Yes.
You know siesta?
Yes.
Do you know ice cream and Coca-Cola and popcorn after KFC? That's a perfect Sunday afternoon. That's a perfect Sunday afternoon. Go home, sit down, take off my shoes, wear my home free dress. Do you know home free dress? Do you know home free dress? It doesn't go out. Even on the compound, it doesn't go. It's just in the bedroom, in the home free zone. Let me go home, wear my dress, relax, sit down and do what I like. That's what I would like to do. But Jesus may have another plan for you. Amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. There are not many pastors. There are some, but not many pastors who plan to be a pastor from childhood. Many of them, they became it along the way. As they were exposed to their job, as they met a church where they were allowed to work, many became pastors by exposure. By being brought into their job to see what it is. And what happened was, they allowed their minds to be changed. Because it's also possible that even though I can see the need, still, I hold on to my course. And I just trust somebody will do it. Somebody from somewhere will come and take up the role and do what has to be done. But I'm busy doing something else. Hallelujah. Are you here this morning? And the simple reason why all this is necessary is because after Jesus gave up everything, God exalted him. That's the interesting part of humility. God gives grace. God resists the proud, but gives grace to that. That's the incredible part about what we are discussing. That when you now give up my dreams, give up my thoughts, change my mind to please you, do all that you are saying, and my grand plans are set aside, amazingly, in the end, rather, God now lifts you up. And that is the paradox of people who serve God.
They seem to be going down, but at the end, they are far higher than the rest. And those who are trying to build themselves, they will find themselves fighting against stealing in their workplace, against a watchman, their own watchman, who's stealing their iron rods, against their own dog biting them. You find yourself fighting things that are in your way. Whereas, no, why are you laughing? You see, I'm showing you that in your effort to do great, you will meet so many other obstacles. You will meet resistance from every corner, which ordinarily would not be there. But the person who has humbled himself, somehow God will lift him past all these things. You'll be the one to meet a wicked lecturer. You'll be the one to meet an unreasonable tax collector. The one to meet a policeman who is against you. You will be the one to find yourself fighting always. As you are fighting, you'll be fighting. You want to fight, you will fight. You will fight on all fronts. Whereas somebody who says, me, I don't fight, he rather will find himself being ushered. I don't know whether you're with me this morning. Being ushered through life. Humility has a way of making you look down but nice. It makes you look unimpressive. It makes you like a proud person will mock you that you are nothing. I mean, you are the one cleaning the place. You are the one sweeping here. You are the one doing all the donkey work. You are the one who is here. That is what it is. But just give God time. Just give God time. Humble yourself. Are you here this morning? Humble yourself deliberately. When it has to be said, it loses its effect and the power. When somebody has to tell you, come and let's pray. You should know we are praying. You should know we pray. When it has to be said, come and let's pray. That robs it of your own volition. I want to pray. It takes it away. And let God take the humble you. Let God take you, who is like nothing in our sight, and lift you up. Let God set you high. Let him be the one set you, give you a name high over every name. You may be down here today, but in your house, in your family, you'll be up there somewhere. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. This.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 11275. God bless you.